Well, out in the jungle by the pond, there was the elephant, there was the lion, and there was the turtle. And so the lion and the elephant are getting a drink of water. The turtle walks up to get a drink. And then the elephant looks over at the turtle and just takes his trunk and just swats that turtle all the way across the pond, way out into the jungle. Well, the lion looks over at the elephant and said, "Well, why did you do that?" And the elephant said, "Well, 47 years ago, that turtle took a big bite right out of my trunk." And the lion just looked at the elephant and said, "47 years ago, you can remember that turtle doing that?" And the elephant said, "Well, of course I can. I have turtle recall." When it comes to giving advice and on life, it's misquoted as Jesus and, of course, the Bible. And we've been in this series we're going to wind up today called "The Bible Doesn't Say That." Someone stopped me. Several have told me how much you've enjoyed this particular series. It's been a little more fun, some of you said, and someone shared this morning with me, "I can't wait to hear what you have to say. It's not in the Bible today." And so going into Thanksgiving and wrapping up, I have one more of these Christian cliches, these sayings that people think are in the Bible but really aren't in the Bible. And in many cases, they can be harmful and even hurtful. They can often be stumbling blocks to people knowing and trusting and worshiping God. And today, we want to look at that saying, "Forgive and forget." May have said it. My guess is we've often heard it. Is it really in the Bible? And if it's not in the Bible, where did it come from? And then we want to know these sayings along with their origin. Well, are they true or are they not true, whether or not they're in the Bible or not? Now, the origin of this little saying and this little advice that we give to people often when they're going through some of the most difficult things in their life and struggling often with deep hurts and pain, well, the origin is the Bible itself and the message of the Bible. It's the Word of God. For example, Jeremiah 31:34 says, "For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." That's quoted in Hebrews two more times. There's more verses like that, the Old and New Testament dealing with God and His forgiveness for that, and God telling us, "I will forgive their sins. I will not remember their sins. Their sins are forgiven and forgotten." But what about us? When God says He forgives, does He really forget? And so that's where it comes from, but is it true? Is it really true? Can we tell people, "Well, just forgive and forget"? Well, the answer really depends on what we mean when we say forget. The real danger of this saying is when we begin equating forgiveness with forgetting, and we think forgetting means erasing from our memories. And so we need to know that forgiving and forgetting are not the same thing. Now, we know in the Bible it tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs and that love covers a multitude of sins, but can we really forgive and forget? And here's where the danger comes. Since we can remember the offense, we can remember the hurt, we can remember the wrong, and the pain seems just as real today as it did a long time ago when we experienced it, since we remember, we think we really haven't forgiven. And that's not always the case. The truth is that we weren't created to forget. We are created to remember. And the truth is, when God says that He forgets and He remembers no more our sins, it's not like we are when we forget a password or if we forget where we put our keys or we forget somebody's name. It's not that it's erased from our memories or we can't really recall it at the moment. It's that God does not recall it, remember it, to be used and held against us again. And so, I want to show you two texts in the Bible. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to Colossians chapter 3. We want to look at verses 12 and 13. If you have your worship bulletin, there's an outline you can follow there this morning. And maybe the Lord will say something to you this morning during this Thanksgiving week. Maybe about some of the things that you may have been dealing with. Maybe even some of the pain and the hurt that still is real today. And so in Colossians 3, 12 and 13, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And then the Apostle Paul says in verse 13, "Bear with each other and forgive each other if one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And so Paul tells this little church at Colossae, these Christians there, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Then Ephesians 4, verse 32, Paul says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you." And so we have been forgiven. But can we really offer forgiveness and forgetfulness at the same time? Now, what does it mean when we say forget? Does it mean to wipe from our memory? That means that we really can't really remember the hurt, the pain, and the offense. And we will say, well, that doesn't even seem like that is in the realm of possibility. Or does it mean not to hold against, not to use against, not to recall, to bring up and hold a grudge against? And that seems to be what we're really talking about. Now, here's the problem with forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't fair. And there's nothing fair about forgiveness. And that's why I think that all of us struggle in this area of forgiveness. We have been wronged, and we think it is unfair to forgive someone who has wronged us because they've hurt us, and we want them to experience the same pain we've experienced. They've cheated us, and we want them to experience that same kind of loss. The hurt is great. The pain is great. We want justice, and sometimes we want revenge. And so to say to someone, well, it's time to forgive and forget, it's really at times not kind. It's not healthy. And to tell somebody just to get over it, well, really, that's not what someone who's dealing with deep pain needs to deal with. You know, I saved this one for this weekend as we head into Thanksgiving week for a couple of reasons. One is, I think the thing that we have to be most thankful for is the forgiveness, that gift of forgiveness that God has given us. And when we've received that gift, well, we have everything to be thankful for. The other reason is that this is a time that we're around a lot of family and friends, and particularly family and friends have had the ability to inflict the greatest and deepest pain in our lives. They may be the people that we hold the greatest grudge against. These may be the very people that we have said, well, I'm going to try to forgive them, but I will never forget what they did and what they said. Or I can never forgive them. And so we need to know, and most of us know, the real pain and hurt that we never really deserved. Broken families, broken homes, broken marriages, broken vows, broken promises, broken hearts, estranged families, friends that we no longer speak, family members we no longer speak to. Then there comes the emotional and even physical abuse, and the pain's compounded because we've never really experienced healing from the hurt that's been inflicted to us. In some cases, we don't even know how to forgive. And in many other cases, we're just not willing to forgive. And so the moment that we hear words like forgive, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you, or words that might be spoken and kind of to help from a well-intentioned person, well, you need to forgive and forget and need to move on. Well, the moment we hear those words, our minds begin to argue and the pain becomes real all over again. You don't know what they did to me. They lied about me over and over again. You know, he intended to destroy my career, and he did. You can't imagine the hell that I've been through. If you only knew what this has done to my family, well, you'd never forgive. You'd be angry too. They deserve to suffer like I've been suffering. I'm going to make them pay. My daughter was raped. How do you ever forgive that? I was sexually abused. How do you forgive that? I will never, ever forgive those people. Never. That might be how some of us today are dealing with some pain in our life. And so what we need to do, and what I want to share with you in a few moments, is just what it means to understand and to practice real biblical forgiveness. So here's a couple of propositions, a couple of statements that we need to know to understand forgiveness and then to put it into practice. Number one, it's on your outline, is that seeking and giving forgiveness are not optional for believers. This isn't just a good idea that if we want to do it, well, great, and if we don't want to do it, well, that's okay too. Now, seeking forgiveness, granting forgiveness, giving forgiveness are not optional for us. Look at these words of Jesus in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Just after teaching his disciples what we call the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And there's this link between receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness. And the surest sign that we have really been forgiven and received forgiveness and understand we've received this forgiveness from God is our willingness to offer forgiveness to those who offend us. But secondly, it's important that we really understand what forgiveness is. And often we're confused about what forgiveness, real, genuine, biblical forgiveness is. So here's the definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is deciding, it's choosing to live with the consequences of another person's sins, another person's actions, their wrongs, their hurts, even against us. It's deciding to live with the consequences of another person's sins. Now, let me just unpack that a little bit and tell you what that looks like and what that means. And you can just follow along there on your outline. Number one, and this is so important to understand, and that is forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It is a decision of the will. It's an act. It's a choice that we choose to forgive someone. So when we think about forgiveness, so we need to know what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean approving what someone else has done. It doesn't mean pretending that the evil and the wrong never took place. It doesn't mean making excuses for another person's bad behavior. It doesn't mean justifying wrong and evil so that sin somehow doesn't seem quite as wrong or quite as sinful. It doesn't mean that you're just overlooking the abuse and thinking, well, it's really no big deal after all. It doesn't mean denying that others tried to hurt you repeatedly. It doesn't mean letting others just walk all over you like a floor mat. It doesn't mean refusing to press charges when a crime's being committed. Forgiveness doesn't mean pretending that you never were hurt to start with. It doesn't mean that you must restore the relationship to what it was before. It doesn't mean that you have to become friends again. Forgiveness doesn't mean that there must be this total reconciliation as if nothing ever had happened. It doesn't mean that you must tell the person that you've forgiven them. And it doesn't mean that all the negative consequences of the sin have been canceled. It's a choice. It's a decision to forgive. And what that means then is that you release the offender from the guilt of that sin. It means that you refuse to bring it up again. You refuse to bring the offense to use against the offender. It means that you refuse to and choose to refuse to dwell and to think about the hurt and the offense. It means that you refuse to talk about that offense with others. And oftentimes it means that you want to be reconciled. You want to be reconciled as far as it is biblically possible to be reconciled with the person. You know, Claire Barton was the founder of the Red Cross. And she was talking one day with a friend when the name of a person that they both knew came up. And years before, that person had hurt and acted in a way against Claire that just caused deep pain. And so when the name came up, Claire's friend just asked her about that person, saying, "Claire, don't you remember when she did that to you?" To which Claire Barton responded, "Well, no. I distinctly remember forgetting that." And there may be some things that we just need to distinctly remember forgetting. One of the most moving prayers in all the Bible for me is this short little prayer of Jesus as he's being nailed to the cross just hours before his death in Luke 23:34, where Jesus prayed as he's being nailed to the cross, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them." He's praying for their forgiveness in the very moment that they are physically torturing him. They are executing him. They do not know what they are doing. And Jesus gives this example to us that this is a choice to forgive. And it's by prayer that we receive it. And so, first of all, forgiveness is not a feeling. Secondly, forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not forgetting. I love this verse in Isaiah 43. It's just one of these many verses like Jeremiah 31:34, where the Lord says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And the Lord just says, I forgive you, and I choose not to remember. I forget your sins. But we need to understand what he's talking about. There's different pictures that are used in the Bible to help us understand what forgiveness is. One of those pictures is right here in Isaiah. Forgiveness is this idea of blotting out. It's covering over. It's something that may be stained, and where you paint over it, you just blot it out to be seen no more. Another word picture of forgiveness means to lift up and to carry away. It means the removal. It means you just take it away. It's like cleaning out your garage, and it's like finding all this junk that's in the garage, and you just load it up and you take it to the dump. You just throw it away. That's what forgiveness is. One of the most vivid pictures of forgiveness in the Bible is the word that's used to release from or to cancel debt. It's this idea that a debt is no longer a debt, that the debt has been forgiven, or you have been released from it. And so that is the idea of what forgetting is. It's not that I just don't remember that as if it didn't happen. We know it happened. And sometimes remembering it can be one of the most powerful things that happens. Look what the Lord says in several of these verses. In Psalm 103:12, it says, he's removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Or Psalm 130:3-4 says, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn from you. Isaiah 38:17, but you put all my sins behind your back, as if never to see them again in your sight. Micah 7:19. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. That our sins, well, the Lord forgets them in the sense that he never remembers them to bring them up against us again, to use them against us. They are canceled. They are blotted out. they are removed, he chooses not to remember. Did you remember that story in the Gospels? It's in Matthew chapter 18 that Peter comes to the Lord. And the Lord's been teaching about forgiveness. And so Peter just puts him to the test and asks, well, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive someone that has wronged me, that has hurt me? 7 times? As if Peter says, you know, I'm magnanimous, I'm going to forgive that person 7 times. But Peter's implying that there is a limit to his forgiveness, to which the Lord replies to Peter, no, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times, or 77 times. In other words, this infinite amount of times. Now, we've heard that before, and we've sort of used it, and I've always kind of thought of it in this way, that every time somebody wrongs you, well, you have to forgive them. And that might be sort of the idea there, but the more I thought about it, the reality is, what the Lord is telling me is a person can hurt me 1 time, and I'm going to have to forgive them 70 times, 7 times for that 1 offense. Because every time it comes back to my memory, I have to forget it again and keep on forgetting it and keep on forgetting it and keep on forgetting it. And so it's not just necessarily every individual offense, but it's this progressive, continual forgiveness that always has to take place. Now, let me give you a third thing. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not a feeling. But lastly, forgiveness is not free. I heard someone say that forgiveness is a form of voluntary suffering. In other words, we choose to suffer, to forgive the person, and to release them, the offender, the wrongdoer. Well, really, that person owes you a debt for the wrong that they have caused against you. And so you have this debt that is owed you by that person. And what do you want someone to do when they owe you a debt? Well, you want them to pay. And in this case, you really do want them to pay. But look what God's Word tells us in Romans 12. It says, "Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it." The problem with that verse and the truth of that scripture is I'm always afraid that God is not going to pay them back like I want him to pay them back. Or God is going to let them off the hook. And that's what I'm really afraid of. And I don't want them off the hook. I want them to pay. And it hurts to think that I'm not going to exact payment, but I'm going to leave this into the hands of a faithful God who is just and let him take care of all those wrongs against me. You know, during the holiday times, the reason that we have holidays is so we can remember. Every holiday is just really a day to remember. And so the holiday that's coming up this week is Thanksgiving. And so we celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving to remember. To remember to be thankful people and be thankful to God for all the blessings that we've received as a nation collectively, and then gratitude being expressed to God individually for all the blessings that he has given us. In one sense, it's very important to remember. In one way, I think it's important to forgive and remember. But not to remember the hurt, but to forgive and to remember what you have been forgiven. And the Lord gives us a way to remember. And so as we sit down this week and have a great Thanksgiving feast and celebrate by eating, the Lord tells us, I want you to remember in a simple little act of eating and drinking. We call it communion. It's a time to remember. And for us today, it's a time to remember to be thankful, but most of all, to be thankful for the greatest gift that's been given to us, the gift of forgiveness. For some of us, it's even remembering that we are to receive that forgiveness and we are to give that forgiveness. I'm going to ask those who are going to service communion today to come and to take their place. And in just a moment, they'll serve you. And they'll pass the tray of the bread first. And I pray that you, and I just ask you to take the bread. And as you pass it down, hold it and we'll take it and eat it together. And then after we do that, they'll come and pass the cups. We invite everybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ and knows him as your Savior. You're invited to celebrate communion with us. Whether or not you're a member of our church or not, we invite you to be part of that. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:19, he says, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them." He was forgetting, not counting our sins against us. And this is the wonderful message of forgiveness and reconciliation. And you need to know that forgiveness and reconciliation are not exactly the same thing. But when we talk about it in terms of our relationship with God, we need to know that forgiveness just requires one person to offer grace. And that is the forgiver. And that's all forgiveness ever requires. You don't even have to tell the person you're forgiving them. They don't have to receive it. You just have to offer it. And you have to extend it. And that is forgiveness offered. But for the next step to take place of reconciliation, it takes two. It takes the offer of grace and then the other receiving that grace. And in communion, we have this wonderful picture of God's forgiveness and reconciliation as we take within us the forgiveness offered to us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, I can have a right relationship with God when I ask for his forgiveness. I can have a right relationship with others when I offer and give them forgiveness. In this moment, we'll pray. And this is the time you can come to God and ask him to forgive you and receive his forgiveness. It's also a time that the Lord may bring to your mind, you can ask, is there somebody that I need to forgive? And to begin that process of offering grace and being reconciled. There's another little saying, and this one's true. To err or to err is human, but to forgive is divine. And that's true. In essence, that's the message of the Bible. And that forgiveness is not a natural human trait. It is supernatural. And the only way that we can ever offer it is by receiving it and then letting God through his Spirit enable us to offer it to others. Let's pray and then we'll be served. Father, we thank you for the greatest of all things to be thankful for. It's that forgiveness that you offer us through Jesus Christ to be forgiven and reconciled. And I pray we'll receive that forgiveness and, Father, be reconciled to you. It's what we have to be most thankful for. And, Father, I pray today for all the hurts and all the pains that are so real in so many of our lives today. And, Father, we offer up that pain. And, Father, we offer up that hurt to you. We release it to you, Father, even through this simple act of communion. Father, as we remember what you've done for us, we're saying we're forgetting what they've done to us. And Father, we're giving it to you. And Father, may you always remember that great gift of grace and love through Jesus Christ on the cross for us. And may it always be a source of thanksgiving for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.